All right, let's dive into the world of reasoning language models, RLMs.
RLMs.
Yeah, fascinating new frontier in AI.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to be a tech expert to follow along. This is going to be like your crash course, your deep dive on RLMs.
I like that, a deep dive.
We're going to break down what they are, how they work, and why they matter.
Sounds good.
Think of them as like your, you know, your typical chatbot.
Okay.
But with like a serious upgrade, you know, they could actually reason, solve problems.
Yeah, like figure out the best strategy in a game or explain a complex scientific concept.
Okay, so we got these three like main ingredients.
Okay.
LLMs, reinforcement learning, and high performance computing. It's kind of like baking a cake, but instead of flour, sugar, and eggs, we're using like cutting edge AI.
I like that analogy.
So first ingredient, LLMs, these are the language experts.
Right.
They've been trained on just mountains of text data, which allows them to understand and generate human-like text.
Yeah.
They're like the communication engine of the RLM.
Yeah, they let it understand and respond to our requests.
So the LLMs provide the like fluency and comprehension of language. Mm-hmm. What about reinforcement learning? What does that bring to the table?
Well, that's where the magic happens.
Okay.
That's how the RLM actually learns to reason, how to strategize.
Okay.
So imagine you're teaching a dog a new trick.
Okay.
You reward it for the good behavior,
right,
and it learns through trial and error.
Okay.
Same principle with RLMs.
Gotcha.
They get feedback on their actions,
right,
and use that feedback to improve their decision making.
Makes sense.
Think of it like the RLM's playing a game.
Okay.
Every time it makes a move, it gets a score, you know, a reward,
right,
that tells it how good or bad that move was. So over time, the RLM learns which moves lead to higher scores, allowing it to become like the strategic master.
Like a chess player.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
And there's this research paper. It actually highlights how RL has been used to create AI systems like AlphaZero. AlphaZero actually taught itself to master games like chess and Go.
Wow.
Purely through self-learning.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So RL is like the brains of the operation.
Right.
Helping the RLM learn from experience.
Exactly.
And become this strategic thinker. But all this learning and thinking, that requires some serious processing power, right? That's where high-performance computing comes in.
Absolutely. High-performance computing, or HPC.
HPC.
Provides the muscle for our RLM. Think of it as giving the RLM a super fast brain.
Okay.
Like having a team of powerful computers all working together to, you know, crunch massive amounts of data, run these complex algorithms. This is essential because training an RLM requires just an incredible amount of computational power.
So we have the language skills of LLMs, learning capabilities of RL, and the raw power of HPC.
Yes.
But how do these three elements actually work together to create an RLM that can, like, reason and problem solve?
One way to think about it is to consider the way RLMs make decisions.
Okay.
They use something called policies. They're essentially sets of rules that guide their choices, but these policies aren't fixed. They're constantly being refined through this RL process, becoming more sophisticated and nuanced over time.
So it's kind of like starting with a basic set of instructions and then through experience and feedback, developing this like more intuitive and refined approach to decision making.
Exactly.
But how does the RLM know if its decisions are good or bad? Like, how does it judge its own performance?
That's where value functions come in. They act like this built-in evaluation system.
Okay.
Estimating the goodness of a particular state or action.
So like almost like a score.
Yeah, you can think of it like a GPS system that not only tells you where you are, but also guides you towards the most promising routes.
I like that. So the value function helps the RLM navigate towards the best possible outcome.
Exactly, yeah. And this research paper highlights two types of value functions.
Okay.
There are state value functions, which assess the overall potential of a particular situation.
Mm.
Like saying, you know, this position in a chess game looks promising.
Right.
Or this line of reasoning seems likely to lead to a solution. And then there are state action value functions, which focus on the expected reward of taking a specific action in a given state.
So it's like weighing the potential benefits of each possible move before deciding which one to make.
Exactly.
But with so many possibilities, how does the RLM choose like the best course of action?
Well, it faces this constant dilemma. Exploration versus exploitation.
Okay.
Should it stick with what it already knows, you know, what's worked in the past, or venture into uncharted territory, try new things?
Right.
Potentially find even better solutions.
It's kind of like trying to decide between ordering your favorite dish at a restaurant or trying something new from the menu.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know you like your favorite, but what if there's something even better waiting to be discovered?
You never know.
And finding the right balance between these two approaches.
Yeah.
That's crucial for effective learning. The research paper describes this thing called the explorative expansion approach.
Okay.
Which encourages the RLM to, like, try out more diverse options.
Okay.
To avoid getting stuck in a rut.
So it's kind of like encouraging the RLM to be a little bit of a, like, risk taker.
Yeah, exactly.
Step outside of its comfort zone.
Yeah.
Explore those new possibilities. But all this decision-making is happening inside the RLM's mind. How do we actually peek inside and understand what's going on?
That's one of the big challenges, right?
Yeah.
Researchers are developing ways to make these complex AI systems more transparent.
Right.
And one approach is to look at what's called reasoning structures.
Reasoning structures.
Imagine these structures as like mental maps.
Okay.
They often take the form of chains, trees, or graphs. And they represent the steps the RLM takes towards a solution.
So it's like visualizing the thought process,
seeing
how it breaks down a problem and like navigates through different possibilities.
Mm. And there are specific examples of these reasoning structures.
Right.
Figure 5 in the research paper actually provides like some visuals and examples of different reasoning structures. And one popular method for navigating these structures is called Monte Carlo Tree Search, or MCTS.
MCTS.
It's like the RLM is simulating multiple possible paths, like evaluating their potential outcomes before committing to a decision.
So it's running mental simulations.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of like a chess player.
Yeah.
Analyzing different moves.
Before choosing the best one.
Exactly. And to guide its exploration, the RLM uses those value functions we talked about earlier, you know, constantly evaluating the potential of different states and actions.
Right.
But even with these structures and strategies, it still feels a bit like a black box.
It does, yeah.
Like, how do we go beyond just seeing the RLM's decisions and actually understanding the reasoning behind them?
Yeah, like, how do we get inside its head?
Well, researchers are developing techniques to explain RLM decisions in a way that humans can understand.
Yeah.
One technique mentioned in this research paper uses something called feature attribution.
Feature attribution.
It's like if you have a picture that an AI has classified as a cat, like, being able to highlight the specific features that were most important in leading to that classification.
Oh, so like the pointy ears, the whiskers,
exactly,
the fluffy tail.
Yeah.
So we can see which factors the RLM considered most important in its decision making.
Precisely. And this research paper actually delves into a specific method for estimating feature importance called NUSHAP.
NUSHAP.
Yeah, it's described in another paper, 2501.11429v1.pdf, if you want to dive deeper.
Okay, we'll check that out.
It builds on a concept called Shapley values, which is a way to like fairly distribute credit among different factors contributing to a decision.
So it's like figuring out which players on a team deserve the most credit for a win.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
But instead of players, we're looking at the different features the RLM considered.
Right. And NoCurie uses these Shapley values to determine which features were most influential in the RLM's final decision. This is a huge step toward making these powerful AI systems more transparent and accountable.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is all incredibly insightful, but are there any limitations to what RLMs can do? What are, like, some of the challenges researchers are facing?
Yeah, there are definitely challenges. Training RLMs, it's like incredibly complex, resource intensive. Mm-hmm. It's not just about having the right algorithms. It's about having access to massive amounts of data, powerful computing resources.
Yeah.
Even then,
The
training process can be like unpredictable,
time
consuming.
So it's like trying to train for the Olympics, but for AI.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Like, you need the dedication, you need the resources.
Right.
And even then, there's no guarantee of success.
Exactly. And then there's the challenge of evaluating how well an RLM actually performs.
Right.
Like, we need to make sure it's not just learning to exploit loopholes or overfit to the training data.
Right. We want to see real results.
We want to see evidence of, like, true reasoning and problem-solving abilities, not just, like, memorizing the answers.
It's like designing a test that's challenging enough to really assess a student's understanding.
Exactly,
Not just their ability to, like, memorize the facts.
And this research paper actually stresses the importance of using, like, diverse benchmarks and large sample sizes when evaluating RLMs.
Okay.
Because these systems can be so complex, their performance can vary a lot.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure we're getting a reliable picture of their capabilities.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just about seeing if the RLM can solve a problem.
Right.
It's about understanding how consistently and reliably it can do so.
Exactly, yeah.
Across a range of challenges.
Precisely. Now, I know we've been, like, throwing around a lot of technical terms.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit.
So let's take a step back and revisit, like, some of the fundamental concepts of reinforcement learning itself.
Okay.
You know, remember, this is, like, the core principle that allows RLMs to learn and adapt.
Okay, back to basics.
Yeah, a little refresher.
I think that would be helpful.
So at its heart, reinforcement learning is all about an agent, you know, in our case, the RLM, learning to interact with an environment.
Okay.
And this environment could be anything from, like, a simulated game world to a real world data set.
So the environment's like the playing field.
Right.
And the RLM is the player trying to figure out the best moves to make.
Precisely. Now, within this environment, the RLM observes the current state, kind of like assessing, you know, the position of pieces on a game board.
Right.
And then takes an action, like making a move.
So it's this cycle of observation, action, and then what?
The key is that after taking an action, the RLM receives a reward signal from the environment.
Okay.
And this reward tells it how good or bad that action was.
So it's like getting a score after each move.
Exactly.
The higher the score, the better the move.
Right. And the goal of the RLM is to learn a policy that maximizes its rewards over time. Remember, a policy is essentially a set of rules that guides its decision making.
So it's constantly trying to improve its strategy to get the best possible score in the game.
Exactly. Now, one of the ways RLMs learn these policies is through a framework called the Markov Decision Process, or MDP.
Okay, MDP, another technical term. What's an MDP?
Think of it as a way to, like, model decision making in situations where outcomes are partly random and partly under the control of the agent.
Right? So like a card game.
Yes.
Where you can strategize, but you also don't know what cards you're going to draw.
Perfect example.
Okay.
Now, within this MDP framework, the RLM is constantly trying to, like, predict the value of different states and actions.
Right.
Remember those value functions we talked about?
Right. The state value function tells us how promising a particular situation looks.
Yep.
And the state action value function tells us how good a specific action seems in that situation.
Precisely. And one specific type of state action value function that's often used in RLMs is called the Q value function.
Q value function. Is that like a superpowered value function?
You could say that. The Q value function is especially helpful for a specific decision making strategy called Monte Carlo tree search, or MCTS.
Right, the one where the RLM runs simulations.
Exactly.
To explore different possibilities before making a move.
Exactly. The Q value function helps guide the MCTS process by estimating the expected reward of taking each possible action from a given state. It's like having a, you know, super smart advisor whispering in the RLM's ear.
Right.
This move looks promising. Explore this path further.
So it helps it, like, prioritize its search.
Yeah, exactly.
Focus on the most likely paths to success.
Now, remember, these value functions don't just appear out of thin air.
Right.
The RLM has to learn them.
Okay.
And there are different approaches to training these functions. This research paper distinguishes between outcome-based and process-based approaches.
Okay, another distinction. What's the difference between the two?
Imagine teaching someone to, like, solve math problems.
Okay.
An outcome-based approach would focus solely on the final answer. Like, is it right or wrong?
Like grading a test based on the final score.
Right.
Without considering the steps taken to get there.
Exactly. A process-based approach. Oh. On the other hand, we'd look at the steps the student took, evaluating their logic and reasoning. This is crucial for RLMs.
Right.
Because we want them to, like, develop robust reasoning abilities, not just stumble upon correct answers.
So we're not just training them to be answer machines.
Right. Exactly.
We're teaching them to, like, think critically.
Yeah.
Strategically.
And in the context of value functions,
okay,
an outcome-based approach would focus on, like, predicting the ultimate reward.
Okay.
While a process-based approach would evaluate the quality of like individual reasoning steps along the way.
It's like providing more granular feedback.
Exactly.
Helping the RLM learn from both its successes and its mistakes.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Now, the paper argues that process-based approaches are particularly well-suited for RLMs.
Okay.
Especially for like complex tasks where rewards might be delayed or sparse.
So in a really complicated game.
Yeah.
You might not get a clear reward signal until many moves later.
Exactly, yeah.
But a process-based approach could still provide like valuable feedback along the way, helping the RLM learn even in the face of uncertainty.
Precisely. By evaluating the quality of individual decisions, the RLM can continuously like refine its reasoning abilities. Now, shifting gears a bit.
Okay.
Let's talk more about those reasoning structures.
Okay.
Remember, these are like the mental maps that RLMs use to organize their thoughts.
Right. We talked about chains, trees, graphs. Are all reasoning structures created equal?
That's a great question. The choice of reasoning structure really depends on the nature of the problem the RLM is trying to solve.
Right.
Chains, for example, represent a like linear sequence of thought.
Okay.
They're simple to understand and implement.
Yeah.
But they can be limiting when dealing with more complex problems.
It's like following a single path.
Right.
Without the ability to like explore alternative routes.
Exactly. Tree structures, on the other hand, allow for like branching, representing multiple possible paths of reasoning. This is especially useful for tasks like, you know, game playing or problem solving, where there are many choices to consider.
So it's like having a map with multiple forks in the road.
Right.
Giving the RLM the flexibility to explore different options.
Yeah.
What about graph structures? Those seem even more flexible.
Yeah, graph structures are like the most general.
Ooh.
They allow for like arbitrary connections
between
different pieces of information.
Gotcha.
This makes them ideal for handling tasks that involve like complex relationships or dependencies.
So it's like a web of interconnected ideas rather than a linear path or a branching tree. It sounds like graphs would be particularly well suited for representing knowledge and reasoning about like complex systems.
Absolutely. Now, the paper highlights some specific examples of how these reasoning structures are being used in RLM research. One example is the Graph of Thoughts framework, or GATI.
GATI.
Which, as you might guess, uses a graph structure to represent reasoning.
So it's literally mapping out like thoughts as nodes in a graph.
Yeah.
With the connections between those nodes representing relationships.
Exactly.
Dependencies between those thoughts. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And this approach allows for more like flexible and nuanced reasoning compared to like simpler chain or tree structures. Another example mentioned in the paper is the Tree of Thoughts framework, or TOTI.
TOTI.
Which uses a tree structure to represent like multiple possible lines of reasoning.
So it's like the RLM is exploring a branching tree of ideas.
Exactly.
Trying to find the most promising path to a solution.
Precisely. And TOTI incorporates techniques for evaluating and refining these different lines of reasoning, helping the RLM make like more informed choices.
It's amazing how these frameworks are taking like inspiration from cognitive science,
trying
to mimic like the way humans think. It's like we're getting a glimpse into the future of AI, where machines are becoming more and more like us in their ability to reason and solve problems.
It really is remarkable.
It is. Speaking of evolution, you know, we discussed reasoning structures.
Yeah.
But what about the strategies RLMs use to like navigate those structures and actually make decisions?
That's a crucial aspect of RLMs, right?
Yeah.
Having the map is one thing.
Right.
But knowing how to use it effectively is another. We've already touched upon one of the most prevalent strategies, Monte Carlo tree search.
Right.
Where the RLM essentially runs these mental simulations to evaluate potential choices.
Right, like a chess player mentally playing out different moves before committing to one.
Exactly.
Can you elaborate on like the key operations involved in MCTS?
Absolutely. One key operation is selection.
Okay.
Which involves choosing which node in the tree to explore further.
Okay.
MCTS employs this like smart formula.
Okay. That balances exploration with exploitation.
Okay.
Favoring nodes that appear promising based on prior simulations.
So it's not just randomly exploring the tree.
Right.
It's focusing on the branches that seem most likely
exactly
to lead to a good outcome.
Precisely. Then there's expansion.
Okay.
Where new nodes are added to the tree,
right,
representing new possible states and actions.
Mm-hmm.
This allows the RLM to, like, progressively explore more of the decision space.
It's like adding new destinations to your map as you discover them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next comes simulation, yeah, where the RLM runs, like, playouts from a chosen node to the end of the task or game.
Okay.
This provides, like, a glimpse of the potential outcomes of different actions.
So, like, mentally fast-forwarding through a sequence of moves.
Exactly.
To see how things might play out.
Precisely. And finally, we have backpropagation,
okay,
where the values of nodes in the tree are updated,
right,
based on the results of the simulations.
Okay. This helps the RLM, like, refine its understanding of which states and actions, mm-hmm, are most likely to lead to success.
It's like it's constantly learning from its experiences,
right,
adjusting its strategy accordingly.
You got it. And by combining these operations, mm-hmm, MCTS provides a powerful and flexible framework,
okay,
for, like, RLM decision-making, kind of like a sophisticated navigation system,
right,
that constantly adapts its route based on, like, real-time traffic conditions.
I like that. Now, we've talked a lot about, like, the technical intricacies of,
yeah,
RLMs, but I want to circle back to something,
yeah,
we touched upon earlier, explainability.
Explainability.
It's amazing that these systems can reason and make decisions.
Right.
But how do we ensure that we understand why?
Right, exactly.
They make the choices they do.
That's a fundamental question and a challenging one.
It is.
RLMs, especially those using, like, complex reasoning structures, mm-hmm, and strategies,
yeah,
can often feel like black boxes. We see the inputs and the outputs.
Yeah.
But the process in between,
yeah,
remains, like, somewhat mysterious.
It's like we see the start and finish of a magic trick.
Right.
But the secret behind it,
yeah,
remains hidden.
Exactly. And while this particular paper,
yeah,
doesn't delve deep into specific techniques,
okay,
for, like, explaining RLM decisions,
mm-hmm,
it does highlight the importance of this area of research.
So researchers are actively working,
absolutely,
on ways to make these systems,
yeah,
more transparent,
yeah,
and understandable.
Absolutely, yeah. They're exploring various approaches, like,
right,
developing techniques to visualize the reasoning process,
right,
highlighting the nodes and paths,
yeah,
considered most important,
right,
in the RLM's decision making.
So it's like creating a visual trail.
Exactly.
Of the RLM's thought process.
Right.
Allowing us to see the steps that led to its conclusion.
Precisely. Another approach is to, like, develop methods for generating natural language explanations,
right,
of RLM decisions.
So it can say, I chose this action because.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would be incredible.
It would.
It's like having the RLM, like, explain its thought process,
right,
in a way that we can easily grasp. But I imagine that's still, like, a significant challenge.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
But it's a crucial challenge to address. As RLMs become more powerful and integrated into our lives,
mm-hmm,
it's essential that we understand the reasoning behind their decisions.
Not only for the sake of, like, transparency,
right,
but also to ensure,
yeah,
that these systems are making choices,
yeah,
that align with our values and expectations.
Precisely. Now, beyond understanding, like, individual decisions,
yeah,
there's also the broader challenge of,
yeah,
comprehending the overall behavior,
mm-hmm,
and capabilities of RLMs.
Yeah.
Like, how can we be confident that they are truly reasoning and problem solving in a way,
right,
that we consider intelligent and reliable?
Right. Yeah.
We want to make sure they're not just learning to exploit loopholes,
uh-huh,
or game the system,
mm,
in ways that might not be beneficial in the long run.
Yeah. First.
That's where rigorous evaluation, mm, and,
yeah,
benchmarking come into play.
Okay.
We need to, like, continually test and refine these systems,
yeah,
to ensure that they are truly learning and reasoning effectively.
So it's like an ongoing process.
It is, yeah.
But one that's crucial for the responsible development and deployment of these powerful AI systems.
Absolutely.
It's clear that, like, ensuring the responsible development of RLMs is paramount.
Yeah.
Now, this research paper we've been dissecting,
right,
the,
yeah,
one that, like, lays out the blueprint,
yeah,
for RLMs.
Yeah.
It's not just theoretical.
It's not, no.
It introduces a practical tool as well.
It does. You're talking about the BY-1 framework.
The BY-1 framework.
What's exciting about BY-1 is that it's designed to, like, help researchers actually build and experiment with RLMs.
So it's like a toolkit for RLM development.
Precisely. It offers like this modular,
okay,
adaptable platform for like putting all those concepts we've discussed into action.
Cool.
It's like a playground.
I like that.
For RLM innovation.
I love that analogy. Mm-hmm. So researchers can use BuyOne,
yeah,
to test out like different reasoning structures,
yeah,
try various training methods,
yeah,
and even explore those nested RLM designs you mentioned earlier.
Think of it like building with Lego blocks.
Okay.
You can like mix and match different, yeah, components in BuyOne,
okay,
to see what works best for a given task.
It sounds like BuyOne is making RLM research more accessible.
Yeah.
Enabling like a wider range of researchers to contribute to this like exciting field.
That's a key goal, right?
Yeah.
Democratizing access to these powerful technologies,
mm-hmm,
is essential for driving innovation and ensuring the benefits,
right,
of RLMs are widely shared.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now, the paper mentions some like specific design choices,
yeah,
and features of the BuyOne framework.
Yeah.
What are some of the like highlights?
One notable aspect is that BuyOne is built with like scalability and efficiency in mind.
Okay.
It's designed to harness the power of high-performance computing, employing techniques like parallel processing and distributed computing,
right,
to handle the massive amounts of data and computation involved in training RLMs.
So it's like giving researchers access,
yeah,
to like a supercomputing playground.
Exactly. Right. And BuyOne also incorporates like clever optimizations to speed up training and inference. Yeah, that's the stage where, so, the RLM like applies,
yeah,
it's trained knowledge,
okay,
to, you know, make predictions or tackle problems in the real world.
So it's like putting its skills to the test.
Precisely. BuyOne includes features like batch processing,
okay,
where like multiple inputs are handled simultaneously,
okay,
and KV caching, okay, which stores frequently used data to avoid like redundant computations.
Gotcha.
It's all about maximizing efficiency.
It's like the RLM is learning to work smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
Now, we've discussed the like exciting possibilities of RLMs,
mm-hmm,
but what about the challenges that still lie ahead?
Well, one major challenge is,
yeah,
developing RLMs that can like truly generalize their knowledge to new situations and domains. Many current RLMs,
right,
excel at specific tasks,
yeah,
they've been trained on,
right,
but struggle when confronted with like unfamiliar problems.
It's like a student who can ace a test,
right,
on one subject,
yeah,
but struggles when the material is like slightly different.
Exactly. They haven't truly grasped like the underlying concept.
The core ideas.
Right. Another hurdle is developing RLMs that are more like robust,
okay,
less susceptible to errors or adversarial attacks.
Oh.
Imagine like someone intentionally trying to trick the RLM,
right,
by feeding like manipulated input designed to cause mistakes.
So like setting traps,
exactly,
for the RLM,
yeah,
to see if it can avoid them.
Precisely. And this is a growing concern,
yeah,
as RLMs are like deployed in real world applications,
mm-hmm,
where like security and reliability are paramount.
Right.
So researchers are working on ways to make RLMs more like resilient and less vulnerable to these types of attacks.
Right. Because we don't want them to be easily fooled.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, the need for more transparent and explainable RLMs,
right,
continues to be like a major focus.
Right. As these systems become more complex,
yeah,
and powerful,
mm-hmm,
it's crucial that we understand how they arrive,
exactly,
at their decisions.
And the BuyOne framework can actually play a valuable role here.
Okay.
Allowing researchers to like experiment with different techniques,
okay,
for, you know, visualizing,
right, explaining, mm-hmm, even auditing,
right,
RLM behavior.
So giving them the tools to open up the black box.
Exactly.
And shed light on the inner workings of these AI systems.
Precisely.
As we conclude this like deep dive,
mm-hmm,
I'm struck by how RLMs are not only like a fascinating technological advancement,
right, right,
but also a reflection of our like ongoing quest to understand intelligence itself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The development of RLMs is like pushing the boundaries of AI, leading us to question what it means to like think, learn, reason.
It's like we're holding up a mirror to our own minds, trying to decipher the secrets of cognition through the creation of these incredible systems.
Exactly. And as we venture further into this uncharted territory, we must do so thoughtfully and responsibly,
you know,
considering the ethical implications and ensuring that these powerful tools are used for the benefit of humanity.
This deep dive has provided, like, a glimpse.
It has. Into the intricate world of RLMs, we've explored their inner workings from, like, the fundamental concepts of reinforcement learning to the complexities of reasoning structures and decision-making strategies.
All right.
We've discussed their vast potential, both the remarkable possibilities and the, like, ethical considerations we must address.
We've only scratched the surface of this, like, rapidly evolving field.
Yeah.
But hopefully you now have, like, a solid foundation for understanding the power and complexity of RLMs.
And as these systems continue to evolve, it's vital that we engage in ongoing conversations about their implications for society, for the future of work, and for, like, our understanding of what it means to be human in an age of increasingly intelligent machines.
Well said. Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
On this journey of exploration into the world of reasoning language models.
Until next time, keep diving deep.
Oh.
It feels like we're on the verge of something truly groundbreaking with these RLMs.
We are. There's a sense of, like, anticipation in the research community, a feeling that we're just starting to tap into the potential of these systems.
It's exciting. And maybe a little daunting, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, with any powerful technology, there's always a responsibility to use it wisely. But I think the potential benefits are enormous. Imagine RLMs helping us to design new drugs, you know, or write better code, or even understand the human brain better.
Those are some big possibilities. It's almost like science fiction becoming reality.
Yeah, it is. It's a really exciting time to be working in this field.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much about RLMs.
Me too. It's been great discussing these ideas with you.
It's always a pleasure to chat about AI, especially when we get to explore such cutting-edge topics.
Absolutely. And thanks to everyone for listening in.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of reasoning language models. Until next time, keep exploring.